every day. Every day they met in the temple courts. Every day they broke bread together. It had already, for that early church, become a holy habit. Breaking bread was something they routinely did every day. Now, why would that have been such a habit so soon? Well, I think the answer is we know. Jesus commanded it, didn't he? At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And today the church continues to do that at communion services, and we'll be doing it very shortly. At most of our communion services, we read a passage, and almost every communion service I think I've ever been involved in reads this passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And Paul writes this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So Jesus gives these instructions. This is what I want you to do in remembrance of me. Use this bread and this wine in remembrance of me. So how do you think we're doing? Do you think what we're going to do shortly is what Jesus had in mind? Do you think Jesus had in mind everybody sitting in rows facing the same way, eating little bits of bread and drinking from tiny little cups, being served by people that we have ordained have to be elders? We have decided that only elders can serve you communion. Is that what Jesus had in mind, do you think? Was that what he envisaged? Rows and rows facing the same way in a big building? I don't think that's what Jesus envisaged. Why do we do it this way? I'll give you a clue. Two horses' backsides. Why do we do it this way? Jesus had a meal with his friends in an intimate and loving environment. And we're in this big building doing things the way we do it. Why do we do it? Tradition, yes. I think for centuries, the tradition has been to do communion this way. Not just this church, but many churches do it this way. Is it thought through? Is it intentional? Is it thoughtless? Do we just do it this way because we've always done it this way? Do we do it this way because actually it makes sense in some ways? It's easy to organize. It's practical. It's hygienic. We've all got little cups and we don't all drink out the same goblet. So there's a hygiene thing there. Do we do it because the URC and the Synod tell us these are the guidelines? This is how we think you should do it. So they tell us that, so we do it this way. Could we be more imaginative about how we do it? We've tried different things. I remember not so long ago, we had what I thought was a lovely communion where Louise invited people to sit in groups, and one from each group came to get a cup and some bread, and then within that group, you shared it amongst you. But there's a danger, sadly, that in churches, if you try and do things differently to how they've always been done, people aren't happy and you get complaints. And we've never done it again. And I don't know whether we got complaints or whether there's other reasons we've never done it again. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was much more in line with my understanding of probably what Jesus had in mind. And I do understand my understanding is limited. But it was just lovely. Could we be more imaginative? Almost certainly. But it's interesting to note the Last Supper was not the only time that Jesus broke bread. We see in the gospel stories, He fed the 5,000. And we're told he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And then he fed 4,000 in a different story later on. And again, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And guess what? He gave it to everybody. They didn't have to believe. They didn't have to follow him. The 5,000 and the 4,000 were just given the bread. He'd blessed it, he'd broken it, and he gave it to everybody who was there. On the road to Emmaus, if you know that story, on the day, either the day he had risen from the dead or the day after, I can't remember, but he's walking along a road, and two disciples are on their way to Emmaus, and he walks with them, and they don't recognize him until they go in and he breaks bread. He breaks bread with them, and they suddenly realize who he is. Now, I think that's probably because he broke bread all the time with the disciples. He probably had many, many meals that aren't recorded in the scriptures with his disciples and with his friends, where he broke bread. So breaking bread isn't always the holy thing of the Last Supper. Jesus broke bread a lot. I wonder, does it always have to be special? Can it sometimes be normal? Can it sometimes, breaking bread, just be normal, as if you're having a meal? The early church used to meet together and have a fellowship meal and then have communion. And my guess is they broke bread at both of those things. They broke bread at the meal, and then they had communion, and they broke bread again. So it was both normal every day and special, because the communion service was remembering Jesus. Could we be more imaginative in breaking bread? Could we see it slightly wider? That's got to be this holy thing, a communion always. Could we break bread in fellowship groups? Could we break bread at dine evenings? Could we break bread in youth fellowship? Could we? I think it's worth considering. I don't know whether the answer to that is yes, or whether we'd all be disbarred from the URC General Assembly, or whatever. But it's worth considering. Breaking bread was an everyday occurrence. That's what we read in that passage in Acts. It's an everyday thing. It's normal. So breaking bread is both normal and special. I think it's special at communion, and probably for the early church it was special at communion. But they also broke bread routinely. Jesus must have broken bread so routinely, it's how they recognized him. He broke bread and they thought, it's Jesus. He must have done it so often. So, should we be more imaginative? Should we consider changing the way we do communion? Or isn't that the issue at all? Isn't the way we do communion the issue at all? Is the issue about communion what we bring to it? Is it about us? Could we make it special, even the way we do it now and the way we've done it for centuries? Do we have to be imaginative? Do we have to change things to make it more meaningful? In preparing this talk, I had a good talk to myself about how often and how easy it is to be complacent about what's going on in communion. What is it we're remembering? Why did Jesus say, do this in remembrance of me? He instituted this beautiful, intimate thing and said, do this in remembrance of me. What are we to be remembering? It's just the most amazing thing, isn't it? We've been singing about it. Louise was praying about it. This amazing thing that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was spilt, so that we who don't deserve it can have a restored, forgiven relationship with God. That's what we're remembering, this broken body, this spilled blood. And you might not even notice, but when we celebrate communion, there's always a piece of unbroken bread. We've got all these tiny little bits of bread, but Louise will always break a piece of bread to symbolize Jesus' body broken. With all those little bits, there's always an unbroken piece, so that as Louise is praying, she can say, broken for me. Jesus' body broken for me. And in some traditions, and we're going to do this today, we don't normally, they actually pour the wine into the cup. You'll see behind me there, there's some wine in a decanter that is going to be poured into the cup as Louise prepares for communion to symbolize the shedding of blood. Some people, symbolism means nothing to them, and that's fine. But for other people, symbolism can be really powerful. And I think to see the wine being poured, symbolizing Jesus' blood being poured, to see the bread broken, if we're really committed to understanding and remembering what this is all about, those symbols can be powerful. And you know what's special about communion? It's not just remembering this absolutely amazing fact, but we're doing it together. The word communion means together. We talk about community. We talk about communicating. The root of that word, together. Communion is remembering together with other people who share our faith, other people who understand what Jesus did on that cross. What a privilege it should be. What a privilege it should be to come together with other people who share our faith and remember that Jesus died for you and for me, and his blood was shed and his body was broken. That's what it's about. That's what we're meant to be remembering. We had a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and about a dozen of us were there. And somebody said, do you know, we're talking about morning services and what we might do or might not do to change or improve them. And somebody at that prayer meeting said, if each one of us here tonight, and there's only 12 of us, if each one of us here really committed to coming to the morning service and really connecting with God, committing to do it, it's not easy. And I said, I give myself a good talking to preparing this. I don't always come to church in the right frame of mind, ready to really engage with God. I sometimes come and think it's church. I'll see all those nice people. We sing some nice songs and go home. If people came committed to engaging with God, even if it was only the 12 people who were at that prayer meeting, it could change the church. If all of us here this morning, when we come to church, when we come to communion, came with that mindset, and it's not easy. Life gets in the way. Life piles in, and there's all sorts of stuff going on in our heads. But if we actually come with that intention, even if it's hard and we don't always do it, that I want to connect with God this morning. I want to really connect with God. I'm going to come, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to concentrate. And because I'd had a good talking to this week, I was actually listening more intently to the prayers today. Louise's prayers were beautiful. There might be some days it would have gone over my head because I'd have been thinking of something else. Or, you know, certainly when you're preaching, you can be thinking, I'm preaching in 10 minutes. Ooh, well, yeah. But I wasn't today because I'd had this good talking to. I was listening to the prayers and they were lovely. How many of you can remember what Louise's prayers were? I'm not. Don't put your hands up. But it's important to come with that mindset. I actually want to engage with God today. And so easily we can come to church and think, what do I want out of church today? How do I want the church to be? How do I want services to change this way or that way? Or why don't I want church services to change? I like them the way they are. We can come with self-centered me, the focus of our attention. Because life gets in the way, during prayers, I drift off sometimes and I'm thinking about what we're having for lunch or where we're going later in the day, and I'm sure you all do. We're human. God understands this. God understands that we're weak and we don't always get things right. But the difference that there might be if we actually came intentionally to try to connect with God. I want to connect with God. I am going to do all that I can to connect with God. And yes, you might still be thinking at some point what happened yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow. But if you come with that intentional, I want to connect with God. And if we did that, I believe that would change the church. And if we changed the church, I believe that would have an enormous impact on our community. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's our vision, is to impact the community. Who knows what might happen if we came with that intentional desire, heart, to say, I know I'm weak, I know my mind will wander all over the place, this isn't easy, I'm not saying it's easy, it's not easy for me, it's not easy for you. But if we came intentionally to say, do you know, when we're having prayers, I want to try and connect with those prayers. If we came when the sermon is on, I'm really trying to gonna get the best and the most I can get from that sermon. And you might still drift off. Some preachers are boring, but you know, you drift off. Wake up. What did I just say? Thank you. That's what I just said. Well done. The Last Supper was a Passover meal in which the Jews celebrated the fact that God actually delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And Last Supper was actually a Passover meal for the Jews. But Jesus said at that meal, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus was instituting something new. It used to be to celebrate the Passover. Jesus says, this is a new covenant. And in this new covenant, he's delivered us, you and me, not from slavery from Egypt, but from slavery to sin, slavery to self-centeredness, slavery to laziness, slavery to all the things that distract us from God. Jesus instituted a new covenant. That's what we're here to celebrate. Together, communion, together, celebrating this wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus did. As we do that today, let's make it real. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the fact that you have enabled us to have a right relationship with God through what Jesus did on that cross. Help us to remember the reality of that, Father. Help us to engage as we have communion together, to remember together. And help us and strengthen us, Lord, if we commit to wanting to have a meaningful engagement with you at church services, Lord, give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to do that. We can't do it by ourselves, Lord. We're weak. We need your strength. But Lord, help us to turn ourselves towards you so that you can give us that strength. In Jesus' name we pray.